20 and 30 rolls on. Oh boy, we're getting to the fireworks factory here. We're at the best players on the roster plus Alejandro Kirk. That's where we are in terms of who's left to talk about. I'm kidding. But it is time to get to the final few batters, and Alejandro Kirk is one of those guys that I got stuck in my head. A lot of guys get stuck in my head while I do this exercise, and Kirk is one where you find one little thing and then you start drilling and drilling and drilling, and next thing you know, you have 3.5 pages of notes on like two topics, and that's okay, because Alejandro Kirk is an important player. When he was good, it was like, how did we ever get so lucky? And again, a lot of these things happen at inopportune times, but 2022 Alejandro Kirk was an all-star, and he had a 372 OBP, and he had a really incredible run of being one of the best hitters in baseball and just hitting everything. And it was line drive rate, and it was not all fields, but he was getting to all kinds of things and also improving his defense. And suddenly he's a great framer. It was this incredible explosion for a guy that in 2020 was called up very early, came to the system very quickly, 21 years old. He's called up for the last 10 games of a fake season to join a playoff team because he was just undeniable and had done incredible things all the way up with the bat behind the plate, which of course is an irregularity in like A ball, but like doesn't play in the minor leagues. It's crazy. Anyway, he's very interesting and very important. And if he's good this year, it means good things for the Blue Jays. So what the heck happened last year, and what could happen this year to get him out of this weird funk? I am so lucky. I have conscripted the services of one of the legends. I'm reaching out and touching the screen, folks, and I hope you are too, because we have one of the greatest of all time joining us today, somebody that I have had the pleasure of talking baseball with dozens of times in the last, God, so many years that I've been typing my thoughts and putting my thoughts about the Blue Jays out there. You know him, you love him from Ghost Runner on First, Getting Blanked, Drunk Jays Fans. I mean, a generational talent. Drew Fairservice joins me today. Drew, thank you for taking the time.
It is my pleasure. I really appreciate you making me feel so, so old, because we've been doing this, you and I, in one form or another for the better part of 15 years.
Correct. There are Twitter accounts out there that might interact with me that are like younger than the time that I've been floundering around talking baseball online. And Alejandro Kirk is the subject today. Before we dig into Alejandro Kirk, I gave you basically 40 guys to pick from, with some very small exceptions. You picked Alejandro Kirk. Why is that?
So Alejandro Kirk has been like a bit of a personal, I don't know what's the word, like, I don't know, lodestone. Kirk made me zig where ordinarily I would have zagged, but then in doing so, when I admitted or acknowledged and embraced my own, you know, fallibility when it comes to being like a fanalist or analyst or whatever you want to say, my gut with Kirk was one thing, and then I was like, you know, maybe you're wrong all the time about everything, so go the other way. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna lean in, I'm gonna go the other way. So, you know, we can get into it, but basically I was like, they need to trade Kirk the second they can, was my thing at the beginning, like at the, you know, through 2022. I was like, if someone's going to take him, sell high. And then I was like, you know what? That's really messed up. Like, he's a really good player. You went through some of his numbers already. I'm like, so I said, forget it. Ignore, you know, your previous thoughts and embrace Kirk for what he is, which of course he then responded by proving me right in the first place. So I'm like, is it that I was right? Or like, how many different times have I been wrong about Kirk? But also because he's so pivotal to the success of the Blue Jays in 2024, realistically and kind of twistedly, as he goes, so will their offense in a lot of ways. So, and he's just an interesting player because he's unique in the things that he does well and the things that he doesn't do well. So there's a lot to talk about, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting contradictions in the way that the roster gets built in terms of timeline. And I think he's one of the guys that is like really indicative of that. Run through it quickly. 25 years old, already 3 years of service time, settled for 2.8 this year, avoiding ARB1, was an international free agent signing out of Mexico in 2016. And as I mentioned, this is where I get to the timeline. He gets called up in 2020 at 21 years old. And I don't think for a second that heading into 2019 when he was at high A and like was pretty good. But they were like, this guy's going to be in the league next year. There's just no way I believe that. But 2020, that shortened season sort of accelerates their timeline in a really strange way. They would have had to hit that timeline as Vladdy and Bo entered important growth seasons for them anyway. But the calling up of Kirk to me was like, it's hard to remember even the 2020 rhetoric was sort of like that they were going to prospect hug because we had just gotten out of like accusing them, pointing this finger of holding back Vladdy and Bo in 2019. And 2020 was sort of like we told you if they were a good team, they could be a good team right away with these guys. And 2021 sort of furthers that. How quickly they pulled the trigger on having him as an everyday guy in 2020 and in 2021 when he's 22 years old, saying 20 a lot there, back to back to back. But it's just very crazy. Like, he gets moved through crazy fast. Manoa ends up getting moved through crazy fast. And of course, 2021 is when they put the Springer handle down. So they really jumpstart this whole era. And Kirk is like one of the first dominoes to fall. You think I'm right on that?
Well, again, it comes back to the unique kind of enigma that is Kirk, where because of the way that he's built, like, we can pretend like it's not something that is going to be discussed. His physique, his physicality, his athleticism is part of what makes him special. And it's also part of the, you know, so when I think back and I wrote about it at the, you know, last year around this time, it was actually late February. And I was like, my perspective was they've taken like a don't waste your bullets approach on Kirk, where at the alternate site in 2020, when he was there with whoever else, he just hit, he raked. And they were like, well, hitters hit. So keep challenging him until you find someone's fastball that he can't hit. And we're yet to find that, right? He can hit. So, but with his position and his size and the things that he does well and the things that he doesn't do well, I think that they were like, let's just keep rolling him out there. Excuse me, and then see what happens, right? Keep letting him hit because maybe the perspective is he's here for a good time, not a long time, because of all these different factors. So get what you can out of him, and maybe you think about a guy like it's like a pitcher in a way, right? Where why waste the bullets? Why rack up all these miles in the minor leagues, throw 99 and 100, because then you get to the big leagues and you're tired and you only throw 96 and 97. It's not quite the same. Or into 95. So again, he's so unique that his handling has been unique and his ability to respond to these different challenges has been unique. And I also think this is one of those things where this is like a, I don't know if triumph of player development or like eyes on scouting, where you're watching Kirk and you're like, and if you're watching him at the alternate side, you're watching him in high A and you're like, he can hit anybody. Good pitchers are going to have a hard time getting him out, because he handles the bat so well and because he knows the zone so well, and that plays, that'll always play. But now, as you know, as he's building more and more of a book of results at big league level, you know, it's probably worthwhile it was probably the right approach to have pushed him up and just seen how hard you can ride him until the fun stops.
Speaking of the fun stopping, 250, 334, 358 last year, 8 home runs, 96 WRC plus, the walk rates and strikeout rates pretty much the same as they were when he was very good in 2022, and about the same guy in 2021, worth a win and a half per Fangraphs. Here's the thing that we didn't expect, is 99th percentile blocking. I'll take their word for it. That's pretty incredible. And 79th percentile framing, obviously the sprint speed, you alluded to the frame and the size, never going to be a sprint speed guy, but the catching, by all accounts, the framing and the blocking, the everyday, every pitch stuff, through the roof for a guy that we didn't think was going to have that skill set. And then the rest of the numbers in 2023, when you think about Kirk in 2023 isolated alone, sort of what's your... You mentioned that it made you feel originally right. What is your sort of 1,000-foot view of Kirk's 2023?
Alejandro Kirk's 2023 showcased the things that he doesn't do well and how dependent he is as to be a productive player to lean on the things that he does do well. And what you've summarized there is my view that he does two things extremely well. He barrels a baseball and he frames the low strike. the blocking is a little like little bit of sugar on top. But those are the two things that he does really, really well. Barrels the baseball, frames the low strike. If he's not barreling the baseball in a way that allows him to overcome all of his other shortcomings, that's when it becomes a problem. And if you look at some of the things that the Blue Jays struggled with as a team, when you have a player like Alejandro Kirk in the middle of your lineup, he's such a truly fundamentally terrible base runner that when you are the Blue Jays and you don't hit the ball over the fence, having Kirk in the middle of the lineup is an enormous problem. And that's really what I saw. And I broke this down. I posted this on, am I allowed to swear on the show still?
Of course. Yeah.
I swear I posted on fucking Reddit, by the way. I am on Reddit banging my head against the wall. If you look at like just how spectacularly bad his base running is for a team, again, like the Blue Jays that struggled with the bases loaded, struggles in these different situations. Kirk didn't go first to third once. Kirk scored from second on a single like a 20% of the time. He didn't score from first on a double once. His own slugging is affected by the fact that he can't like add extra bases with his legs. It's a problem. It's a huge problem. If the Blue Jays hit home runs, if he's trotting because the guy behind him hit it out, you got a player because he's on base like all the time. But he is in his own way symptomatic of what held the Blue Jays back last year. He needs to hit the ball over the fence to be like a significant contributor, I think, because his base running, among other things, holds him back so significantly. Power, and that's what we saw in 2023. That's what I saw.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you absolutely nail the big picture stuff. We drilling into it. You mentioned the power outage slugging percentage goes from 583 to 436 to 418 to 358 last year. Pulled the ball less, did not succeed when he didn't pull it, was like a 40 WRC plus taking the ball back the other way. Up the middle, like anything to center field was an out, anything up the middle was an out. The fewest line drives of his career, most ground balls he's hit in his career rate wise, barrels on all-time low, weak contact an all-time high. The red circles, and here's where the interesting thing comes in, is his whiff rates, his K rates, walk rates, defense, they're all super red, and it's a lot of it is built on contact rate. This is crazy. He made a ton of contact last year, like a ton of contact. The zone contact rate, 92.5% among guys with his 400 plate appearances and more, fifth in all of baseball. It's Arias, Stephen Kwan, Nico Horner, then Alejandro Kirk. And if you don't barrel the ball, like here's the thing, with that rate, if you barrel the ball, you can be Mookie Betts, 7th. Alex Bregman is 11th. Jose Ramirez is 12th. There's very good players in this mix, but they're barreling the ball at twice the rate that Alejandro Kirk is. When you're making this much contact and not barreling the ball, it's a real problem. And then out to the zones, it's crazy. Down and away, off the plate, like chase down and away. He's the third most balls put in play last year of all his swings. The third most swings he made, his most whiffs, and 80% of those are ground balls, zero barrels, zero line drives. So he's like chasing down away off the plate and making contact outside of the zone 76% of the time, 20% above league average. All that is to say, he made way too much contact on terrible pitches last year. And just like down and away and up and in, which is a very steady diet that a lot of pitchers will feed you, he was either hitting it when he shouldn't or swinging through it. It was a real problem in his zones, big time.
In a way, it sounds like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., right? Where he's too good at hitting the baseball. And he is, you know, Kirk doesn't strike out a lot. His walk rate's nice, but he is too capable of putting the bat on the ball. And I think that we can also maybe lay this at the feet of here's a wild take. We can lay this at the feet of Danny Jansen, because if Kirk is catching as much as he did last year, it's a problem, because catching sucks. Catching is really bad. Now, before I say that, no, those are pitches seen. I'm looking at his Baseball Savant page. I'm trying to figure out how many pitches he actually caught in 2023, because it's an ignorant job catching all those pitches, and it takes a toll on your hands. And Alejandro Kirk is a wonderful hitter, but if he is lacking in strength because he's getting beat up and his legs aren't there because he's spending too much time behind the plate, I don't think he can. I guess the question is that the question is, can he be the same player if he's catching that much more? It kind of comes back to this idea that like maybe less Kirk is more. when you can put Kirk in, when you can spell him a DH, which is hard with the Blue Jays. They got a lot of DHs kicking around in different guises. And you got the starting catcher who, bless him, he gets hurt. He's a catcher, he gets hurt, but Danny Jensen gets hurt a lot for a catcher. Puts more pressure on Kirk to be in there every day. It's really tough. And again, it's the problem with him with Kirk, I think, is that he's one dimensional. And when you are playing such a physically challenging position, it makes you're that carrying tool harder to lean on, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that. Nobody hit well at DH last year either, really weirdly. Mm. They had a bunch of guys cycle through. Like, Springer has been a terrible DH the last 2 years. Something I've sort of noticed is Kirk didn't hit well as a DH either last year. He said 62 WRC plus as a DH. Some weird pitch value stuff. I don't think it's necessarily sticky, but just sort of a little indicative of the things that he really, really dominated when he was hitting well and didn't dominate last year. He slugged 842 against curves in 2021 and 275 in 2023. So a 600 point drop in slugging against curveballs year over year. Similar story with sinkers, 522 to 347. Not nearly as insane, but the spin was something that he did a really good job with the year before and was really didn't hit well at all last year. Cutter, curve, sweeper, all that stuff. Dropped 30 points in run value in swing take decisions as well, which is sort of, I think, comes back to how much contact he made. And like, if he was swinging at bad pitches, he was hitting the bad pitches too, which is like a really bad recipe for a guy, as we said. It's not mm-hmm. like he's beating out anything, the mistakes, the flare the other way. And even the walk rate, like, why wouldn't you walk Alejandro Kirk? Like, what's the harm? Who cares? Like, what's he going to do? Unless the next guy hits it out, you just need to get the next guy to do anything other than hit a triple, and it's going to be fine.
Well, and then it becomes a bit of a situational thing too, where, okay, that's if you're game planning for Alejandro Kirk and you're the other team, okay, so do we walk him? But maybe if he's making weak contact on these soft pitches away, or if we can get spin down and away on him, he's going to hit into a double play because he's not going to beat it out. And that was another thing. The thing I was thinking about too was like, how many of these Blue Jays faltered rallies? They had that like 3 month section where they just couldn't score runs and they couldn't keep innings alive. How many double plays did Kirk hit into? How many does he beat out if he's a little bit faster? If he's a better base runner? And it's, I mean, it's not that he's a bad base runner. He's cautious to a fault, right? He doesn't get thrown out because he doesn't ever run. So it's all these things combined, right? He has to be hitting ropes. He's got to hit the ball over the fence or he's got to be like yanking it into the alley where he can cruise into second base, because he's not going to make an out on the bases, which is good, but it's a problem. So yeah, then the double plays are a problem again for a guy who doesn't run well at all. And if he's making weak contact, it's a challenge to find a good spot in the lineup for him, I think, as well, which you just have to figure out like which guy are you going to get. And a lot of that will be something to watch closely, I think, in 2024. Is like, are we talking about the, you know, beat up, physically beat down from catching, didn't get a good start to the season last year, you know, with being away from the team, which is, you know, was the right thing to do, I think. But at the same time, if that was we could lean on that excuse versus maybe now this is the guy who the bullets are maybe have now been used, right? If the bat speed slips a little bit, and I don't know how to measure that. I don't know if there's a way to measure that, but if his bat speed isn't what it was, is he washed at 25? Which is scary to think about. I don't want that to be the case. I want him to be hitting line drives and hitting doubles that he doesn't have to run for and hitting the ball over the fence and getting the rest that is required to have him at his best. But those are the things that I'm cynically going to be looking for throughout the season.
Couple rays of sunshine in there. Hit .174 middle, like didn't hit middle at all. Strangely, you could throw him right down the middle. His slugging on it was 163, and it's very strange. The biggest meatball in the chart, he didn't hit very well at all. And second half came on, 118 WRC plus in the second half, got the strikeout rate down below 10 and the walk rate above 11, and slugged 421, which is like closer to the guy, a little bit closer to the guy in the second half than he was in the first half, because it was truly all that stuff you mentioned there. High leverage, he wasn't very good. Runners in scoring position, he wasn't very good. And the walk rate, he also didn't walk in the middle of the summer. Mid to August, the walk rate plummeted too. So it was some bad times in the middle of this year for Alejandro Kerr, that's for sure. Yeah. Anything else to add on the splits or the oddities or situational or anything you sort of you see digging a little deeper on Kirk?
Not really. I guess it's just like it's a shame because he's a fun player to cheer for. But again, so many things went so badly. And then I mean, the thing that sticks out to me was like he didn't have an extra base hit almost for the entire month of April. I think that was like he got off to such a slow start that yes. It made it a big uphill battle. He was really digging out of that season, so it's a no way to live.
Projections, we take them with a grain of salt, but I do like to look at your high and low ends of the projections for him to sort of get an idea of what they think. We have had a number of conversations about the things that they value can sometimes cloud this, but interestingly your low end on base is 345. Your high end is about 360. And they all think he's going to slug back over 400. Your high watermark, 12 home runs. Low watermark is 10 home runs. So there is a belief that there is more power, not a ton. I mean, 8 to 12 is not a giant. It's a half, 50% increase, I suppose. But it's still not a crazy threat with it. Walk rates being about the same. But they see a WRC plus somewhere between 110 and 122. Giving you roughly 3 wins. Does that seem high, low? Are you more pessimistic than that?
I guess it's the shape of the production that I worry about. There's a part of me, sickly, that might wish to see him selling out for more power. Again, because I'm hung up on this base running thing. And I don't want him running the bases. I want him trotting. So sell out. Just sit dead red. Hook it into the what used to be the bullpen. I don't know what's there now. But just do that all day because obviously those projections, what I should say is those projections project to be a very good player. That's a very good player. If he's a 10% better than league average, that works all day, but it depends on the things that are going on around him to really make it work from a team offensive perspective. If he's getting on base like that, that's great. I love it. If it's 345, 360, whatever it might be, I would love to see, personally would love to see more power. But if it's not from him, it's got to be from somebody else. And you got to find a nice little cozy spot for him in the lineup where he's not necessarily going to be like, God, I feel like I've come full circle now. We talked about 15 years. 15 years ago, somebody, if I had said, oh, he's clogging the bases, I would have stuck my head in the oven. But here we are now and be like, God, you don't want him clogging up the bases. But... I don't want him causing problems. And hitters hit. So if he could still hit, that's great. And there's nothing in those projections that's not believable because he does barrel the baseball so well. He knows the zone. He doesn't, typically doesn't swing at balls, right? Which is what, as you said, what we saw kind of in 2022 and less so in 2023. Or if he's able to zone up and like focus on the kind of pitches that he can do damage to and then take those opportunities. That's a very good player that is integral to a very good team. So if those skills are still there, if that bat speed is what it needs to be, and he's able to get around and as you pointed out previously, do damage to the pull side and really hit that ball hard to the pull side, that's a good and valuable player that would be welcomed in any lineup, especially the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Pull side really went away from it last year and 5% lower than the year before and a good 10% lower than league average, maybe spraying it around to a fault. Discourse around Alejandro Kirk, I think people are a little sour on him. I think the general discourse is people, the jovial frame that people loved so much did then get used against him by a lot of people. But I think there's also like the catcher wars. I can't not mention the catcher wars of 2023, where it was like everybody had their horse going into it and the tribes were very split. I feel like the anti-Kirk tribes are riding up pretty high right now. You notice around the conversation around Alejandro Kirk, although you're not as entrenched in it as you. Luckily, you've made a life for yourself outside the walls.
Let me tell you what they're saying on fucking Reddit, because it's no... the catcher discourse is insane. It makes me want to do bad things to myself. But that said, at the end of the 2022 season, I was like, put him in the trade. But I think it's entirely possible that that trade doesn't get done, look like it or lump it, if the Blue Jays are insisting on Kirk and the other, and the Diamondbacks or whoever are like, yeah, no, I don't think that that's how we want to get down, which is crazy because he's such a good player. But at the same time, if you're thinking about what is he going to be in a few years, and I think that's the big question that nobody has an answer to, and why, as we said from the start, they were able to just rush him up to the big leagues, like keep hitting until you don't, because that's kind of, you know, the framing is a nice thing. So the discourse around him is obviously clouded by the fact that Gabriel Moreno played well in for 2 weeks when more people were watching Diamondback games than previously. And every single at-bat became, 2 out of every 9 at-bats during the World Series became an indictment and of the Blue Jays front office, because there's Lourdes Gurriel who hit, you know, a couple of nice home runs, and that's all anyone can remember. I think that it's really, that's the discourse. And when things are going well, everyone loves Kirk. He's delightful. You get the guy, the Danny Burgers guy, is talking about him running around like a little meatball. It's great. But he allows, Kirk's physique allows the worst baseball fan that you know to like say really out of pocket things about like, he's a professional athlete, he's got to lose 50 pounds. Like, man, if only it was so simple. It's not like he's not working, right? Like Alejandro Kirk works hard. He worked hard the previous winter. I'm sure he worked really hard this winter. Some people are just built a certain way. Was it David Singh that wrote that great story about them scouting him for Sportsnet a couple of years back? That's a great story. I think so. Because at every turn, people are like, who the fuck is that guy? And they're like, just wait, just watch him hit. And that's, you know, it's a great story. But the discourse allows folks with bad intentions to indulge in their worst impulses, I think is what I'll say.
Tough one here. Can you force a comp to Alejandro Kirk? Does he remind you of anybody, be it the conversation around him, the batting profile, the stats, the stature, the vibe? Who does Alejandro Kirk remind you of in baseball? He's sort of one of one. It's a tough one for me.
He's one of one when it comes to, especially given the position that he plays. The position that he plays makes him like an absolute freak, because catchers are, you know, there have been big guys who are catchers, but they don't do the things that he does well. You know, you think about Rod Barajas, former Blue Jay Rod Barajas, vibes off the chart, you know, lovable guy, played forever, is still a coach. I think he's the coach of the Pirates. You know, it would have like a 280 on base and then run into 15 or 20 fastballs and as a backup catcher. It's different now, right? The game is the game in that role. Guys are bigger, guys are more athletic than before. But the problem is, like, the comp that I wanted to force, especially because when I've been digging in and obsessing over the base running of his and looking at the base running value and stuff, the sick comp is like 2023 Miguel Cabrera. Like, they have the same vibe. They can't run. They don't have any power. You love them because they've been through it. And you know, Cabrera's, the end of his career was you know, he was bad. I think his rated runs created plus was 89 last year, and Kirk is 96. But that's kind of where he is in terms of just the drag on his value, that his inability to do those two things, run the bases and hit for power. It's similar to like a very old player. And that's messed up. But when he's right, in a way, it's you use Mookie Betts. Like, when I think about it, it's a similar offensive profile to Mookie Betts. If you just look at, if you cherry pick the numbers, I can make it look the same. If you give me a custom leaderboard on Fangraphs, I can make it look the same. But the difference between what Betts can do and how much of a charge Betts can put in the ball, and then what happens with his legs when he's out there running around. So I don't know. It is tough. It is tough to force a comp, but 2023 Miguel Cabrera is one that comes to mind, and I don't like it. If you look on, I think some of the ones are like Carlos Santana, but even that, he's not even like a take and rake guy, right? It's a little bit different. So it's what made it fun to talk about. Before we started, I was like, this is gonna be fun. Now we're halfway through and I'm like, this is hell, because it's such a miserable outlook. I don't even know what to think. But then again, it couldn't be. Maybe he's gonna rake and everyone's gonna be happy.
they're such funny tools, the way that they do the similarity, because I mean, Baseball Reference has that one that's like, it's a very clear, the similarity they use is completely different. Like after age 23, it's Ernie Banks. Like, oh yeah, Hall of Famer. Like, Ernie is of his top 24, of his top players through 24, two of them are in the Hall of Fame. Barry Larkin, Craig Biggio, Tim Anderson, JJ Hardy, Willie Adames. Like, it's like, oh, he's a shortstop, second baseman, people are assuming, just looking at the batting. Like, he's a catcher.
He's a, you know, not a lot of power, a lot of contact, shortstop. Yeah, exactly. You can get number two, so lost.
It's crazy. Number two, Adley Rutschman is in there too. Adley Rutschman for a similar batter. So you want to make yourself feel good.
I do want to make myself feel good, but every time you mention Adley Rutschman, as I made a joke last year about two years ago, I made a joke about how Adley Rutschman was the oldest catcher in the game, because the Jays were playing the Orioles and Rutschman hit a home run, and there is a woman, an Orioles fan lady, who completely lost her mind. Like, she was beside herself, message after message after message, screenshots like, this, how is this funny? I was like, it's a joke. I'm joking about how he's older than they are, even though he's obviously a better player. They're like, it's not funny. It's not his fault they held him down. It's not his fault he went to college. I was like, Jesus Christ, lady. It went on and on. It was one of those things where I was like, coming down to the end of the podcast, and I was like, you know what? I think I need to take a break. This is a little too much crazy. I don't know if I can do this for too long.
That's fantastic. 2024 outlook. We've looked at projections. We looked at what happened last year. We looked at the type of player he's been and could be. What do you honestly think is in store for Alejandro Kirk in 2024? It's a hard question.
Well, it, honest to God, it would have been a different answer a week ago before Danny Jansen got hit in the hand for the 75th time and is due to miss time because of it. I think that if in a situation where he's not the primary catcher, he gets a normal routine-driven start to spring, he's able to come in healthy, fresh, stay healthy and fresh, I think the outlook could be very positive. He can get back to being the guy that he was. I don't, because he's still so young. As you said, he's only 25.
Yeah.
Right. That's, you know, he's not old, and there's no reason to think that he can't still do those two things well, which is barrel the baseball and frame the low strike. And in a perfect world with a healthy kind of co-catching situation, he's in a position to do that much better and that much more efficiently. But now I don't know, because I worry about him just being back there too much. And then we end up back where we were until he can sort of find his feet and not spend so much time behind the plate. And then he's, you know, where his power gets sapped from catching so many. Now the Blue Jays have got this bullpen full of these goons that throw so hard. Now he's collateral damage in the big armed goon movement.
Yeah, it's all the blocking working against it. 99%
Be bad, be worse at blocking. Let them go. Just let them drive all those same old men that hate you, drive them all crazy. Go right knee down and watch poor Buck have like a aneurysm right on the air.
Bigger picture, I mean, I think you've been outlining it the whole time. The bigger picture is what even is Alejandro Kirk? What does free agent year Alejandro Kirk even look like? It's going to be interesting to see how it ages, because he's such a unique case in when he was called up and what it's been like and how the volatility at such a young age. And as you said, you sort of can't ignore the physical nature of the position and his physique. And once if you're moving him off catcher, then what are we doing? Then we have a real conversation about a lot of the value that he got last year was defensive value. To even add on to like the squeaking by without power and without speed, if you took off the catching value, that you know, the metrics always change on that overnight sometimes, and guys lose half a run of value or gain half a run, depending. It's an interesting big picture if you know how long term Alejandro Kirk is as a player.
That my kind of initial take, I feel good about it today, which is like, if Alejandro Kirk gets to free agency and he is a sought after free agent, something has gone very, very well for him and the Blue Jays. If Alejandro Kirk is what will he be, 27, I guess, when he gets to free agency, yep. And he's on the market and people are vying for his services, that bodes very well. I think that given his signing bonus, given that he came, you know, from such a low profile, and they've just been daring him to fail realistically all along, that even what you've got now, right, to get that kind of value out of him in 2022 that they got, you have to feel like at this point you're almost playing with house money. And if he can bounce back and can do those things well and can overcome his other shortcomings, you know, you got to be happy. But, you know, what does 30-year-old Alejandro Kirk's career look like? I do not want to think about it, even remotely. I'm happy to try, if I'm a Blue Jays fan or the Blue Jays front office, and just see what's left, right? How much juice can you squeeze before the sadly the sickening nature of the game is like, well, he's in the, or is he in the process of being chewed up and soon to be spit out, I guess is the question. And hopefully not. Hopefully he can keep making big checks. He can get a nice another big Arbor board. And then, yeah, he's the weird little meatball oddity that hits free agency and people want to throw a bunch of money at him. I hope so, but because that'll mean that he's been really productive for the Blue Jays and healthy and stayed on the field and stayed productive. So the big picture is a puzzling one, but I think there's lots of reason to be optimistic, because all he needs to have is a strong left hand, right? As long as his left hand stays strong and stays healthy and with a little weird micro fractures, he's good to go.
This is up there with the most doomer profile so far. It's this or Springer. Springer, I was like really trying hard to be like, there's got to be something in here that really didn't hit fastballs at all. George Springer, if he can hit fastballs,
you don't love to see that. You don't love to see that from an aging player.
It's pretty.
I don't mean to be doomer. I think that there's a little bit of there's it's worthwhile pragmatic about an unusual player like Kirk. He doesn't look like the other players. He has nothing about him is reminiscent of anybody else on the roster. So why should his episode be like theirs? His needs to be super weird and full of tangents.
Mission accomplished on that front. Drew, thank you so much for the time, man. Is there anything you want to plug?
No, I'm still kicking around on the platforms from time to time. I apologize if people are like, hey, that guy likes baseball, I should follow him, because it's nothing but West Ham almost all the time. but it's the thing I love the most in life. So I apologize to you, but only a little bit.
Awesome. As always, if you're looking for more Less Than Jays and especially more of the 40 and 30 series, you can find that patreon.com/lessthanjays. The $9 tier gets you all 40 profiles. Every single player on the roster, one by one, is on there on the $9 tier. Or the $5 tier gets you our regular episodes extended by 15 to 20 minutes and all the ones that are coming onto this timeline where you're finding this a little bit early. You would have heard this one as early as Wednesday morning. So all that is available for a small price. And compared to your attention and your time, it's nothing. This is nothing. It's just money. And we really appreciate it. All that is to say, thank you so much once again for tuning in today. Thank you for all the kind words about the series. And thank you, as always, for being a part of Less Than Jays.